So we do three men need to eat bread together to make Zimun, and I should have an other Zimun questions. So one of those other ones will obviously, well, not so obviously, but will be the question about whether women should have a Zimun. That is on the list for tonight. Besides that, this part of the meal often leads to a significant amount of confusion. So I figured it does, I'm not sure each, any one of these in particular qualifies as a myth, but I think there's a lot of, there's general myths surrounding the Mizumin, and you know, I figured we'd go through a lot of the different halachos one by one. The halachos of Zimun cover a significant portion of Maseches Brachos, I believe the sixth parak of, sorry, the seventh parak of Maseches Brachos. No, I'm confused which, exactly which parak, I forget. In the Mem Hei, the parak beginning on Daf Mem Hei Amin Aleph is the parak entitled Shlosha She'achlu. Ketzim Farach, whatever. Okay, so, and there are a couple of dafim there that have these halachos. It is contained from Sif Kuf Tzadi Beis through Reish Aleph of Shulchan Aruch. So that's nine chapters of Shulchan Aruch that are devoted to the laws of Zimun. And there are some, I don't know, complicated halachos, but just halachos that people never actually learn. So I figured we'd learn them and figure out to apply them. There is a disclaimer that for some reason the Bar Ilan that I was using today, I have access to the Bar Ilan via a few, online via a few organizations. I don't actually pay for it, but I because of some affiliations I have. And for some reason the Mishnah Berurah part of it was not working today. Every once in a while, the Mishnah Berurah seems to have a bug, so I couldn't get the Mishnah Berurah on the Bar Ilan. So, unfortunately, we'll quote the Mishnah Berurah a few times. You might have to take my word for it, in terms as the Mishnah Berurah does not appear on the source sheet today. Okay, so halacha number one, the obligation. So the Gemara tells us, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, chayiv in bezimun. You're chayiv to have a zimun. We'll add in when possible. She'omer, what is a zimun? She'omer echar mehem nevarich shachal mishalo, v'hein omim omrim baruch shachal mishalo uftavo chayinu. Right? So that is the essence. And v'hu chozeri omer baruch shachal mishalo uftavo chayinu. And then the chazan, so to speak, repeats it and says baruch shachal mishalo uftavo chayinu. Where does this come from? So there is a gemara that most Rishonim interpret in a different way, but the Rif interprets it as saying this. So I've debated whether going through the Gemara and figuring out how to extract from that this halacha. I decided to leave it. But it is possibly learned out from a Gemara. Either way, that I don't think anybody does Zimun in a different way. Those became the words of Zimun. Where does it come from? So the Gemara tells you right off the bat that it's based on the idea of Kishem Hashem Ekrov, Vogoda Eloheinu, that we're going to pronounce God's name and everybody's going to hear it. It's the idea of, like a minion, it's the idea of Barov Hamadras Melech. It's the idea of having multiple people be involved in the mitzvah, and that makes it greater. What was the idea? So if on Lux and Shulchan Aruch, you see right after what we finished reading, it says, Beis Aleph Yud Aleph Mem Hei. What does that stand for? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hazanes Haolam. That the person leading the Zimun actually is supposed to say the first bracha of benching, and not just the first bracha of benching, but also the second, third, and fourth bracha of benching. The ideal is that the person leading benching is leading benching and saying it on behalf of everybody else. However, that fell out of style due to our shortening attention spans is not just a problem in the last couple of years. That has been a problem for several centuries, and the idea that one person is going to lead Zimun, everybody else is going to pay particular attention to every single word he is saying, so that seems to have fallen by the wayside. I was at one person's house once who did this, who said, minhag in my house is to one person does it, benching on behalf of everybody, and that's what we did. One person did it, and we all somehow tried to pay attention. He said, if you think you'll have trouble paying attention, you could say it to yourself under your breath. So I think that is what I did.
Was that all the way through the first
straight through,
all
through.
Business, yes.
Not including Harachama, but that's okay because this fellow, yeah, there is not a chance he would be saying Harachama on Shabbos. Anyways, that's for a different shir at some point. So he did it that way. We today kind of have a extension of that where we have one person saying it out loud on behalf of everybody. the first bracha. Sorry, he said one person says the first bracha on behalf of everybody, and there are those that are machmir to say the entire thing on behalf of everybody. When I was in Rosh Hashanah here, I used to go to his house. That's what he was machmir on. He would usually even lead the benching himself just to make sure it happened. But he assumed that the best thing is that one person should say benching out loud for everybody else, and everybody else will say it to themselves. That way, you are kind of maintaining this minhag. That's not really the practice so much anymore.
Isn't that what your friend did, though?
No, he said that one person is going to say it and everyone is going to listen. At Rosh Hashanah's house, he says one person will say it out loud and everybody else will say it to themselves softly. Okay. So that is the order of Zimun, that it started off in the beginning. It was one person saying the whole benching on behalf of everybody. It became turned to him saying it all, everybody else saying along with him, and it kind of has turned to where it is now, that you kind of lead Zimun. Ideally, you would say the first bracha out loud. That really should happen. And the rest of it, everybody will say to them to themselves. So that is that's the standard Zimun. Next, the next halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that once you are in, you cannot leave. That afilu lo hukfu mitchilas kulam lechol yachad el sheshnayim kavav achrachach ba hashlishi v'kav aleihem. That even if two people did not have in mind to that they would all eat together, but two people started eating together, and then a third guy comes and joins with them. Or one person sits down to eat, and two people come and join him. So inam rishalim lechalik, you're not allowed to break yourselves heart because you have already been established together as eating together for a zimun. So as soon as you are eating together, you are stuck. And Shulchan Aruch says you are not allowed to leave. The Mishnah Berurah in a Mishnah Berurah that I couldn't put on the sheet makes this very clear. He thinks that it is usur, that your one is really not permitted to leave in a way that would break up a zimun. And that extends in both ways. I mean, we have the idea. Oh, I skipped it from the first source. The first source is also included that if you have 10 people there, you add the word Elokeinu, right? That's where you're used to.
Yeah, you have it.
No, that I put here, I just didn't say it, right? So that is a higher form of Zimun that you say in the bracha, so 3 or 10. So if you are in a situation where your breaking up is going to break up a 10, so you're also not allowed to break up. And you are personally not allowed to leave if that's going to cause you not to be able to say it. If you have over 20 people there and you want to gather your own 10 people together and have your own minyan, so theoretically that should be okay. That one would be allowed to do. But as you know, we can imagine from the simchas that we get to, it's not often so practical to do to gather 10 people around. So what is the heter? So we'll get to that shortly. Do you have a question?
So the definition of a group, though, is not just like three guys sitting at a table. It's three guys eating certain things and sitting at the table, right?
So far, three people eating. The eating certain things is there, is source number 6.
Oh, fine.
How many people need to be eating what? That's number 6. But just assume three people are, for now, just three people are washing and bench and eating and ready to bench. So you're not, you can't shift. You're kind of stuck once you have three people around. That's the impression that one gets from Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked by a very tired balabas, it seems, that he was up very late at a wedding the night before because he went to the wedding and what's he supposed to do? You have two problems at a wedding. First of all, you're invited for Sheva Brachos. And how could you leave to have and not make it for Sheva Brachos, A? And B, you're part of a Zimun. How are you going to leave and not be part of the Zimun? That was the Shaila that he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein. Dreary-eyed. Just imagine this question coming in. So Rav Moshe points A, he realizes that practically it becomes very difficult to stay all the way up tonight. He talks about staying up till Chatzos, and you can be there for a few more hours that you don't really want to be there. And at the end of that first paragraph, he says, you got to wake up early the next morning in order to go make a living. But in order to have a separate Sheva Brachos, you're not going to be able to do that. The Baal Bas isn't going to do that. But the fact that you're leaving, the Baal Bas wants you to leave. If you ask the Baal Bas, look, I can't stay late. I got to go wake up early. The Baal Bas says, go. Don't stay here till 1 in the morning. But meanwhile, you're stuck. Al pi hilchos brachos. Al pi hilchos the zimun. Right? What are you supposed to do? So Rav Moshe writes, Aval lefi ani asdai, see the underlined part, in my humble opinion, yesh eitz akala, I have an easy answer. Right, the ilu rotsim shelo lachkos ad gmar ha-su'ud v'zayin brachos. If you want to make it so that you don't have to wait until the end of the su'ud and the sheva brachos, yomer b'feirish kodem sheyashu, you should say clearly before you sit down, probably, I don't think you have to say it to everybody at the table, but you can say it to yourself, right? Lechol she'in mischavdin litzarif l'kfiris im shar mesubim. That you have in mind that I am not going to be sitting with these people. I am going to be sitting with these people. I am establishing myself as not sitting with these people. She'az af she'yoshim b'shulchan echad lo mischai b'zimun. If that's the case, then even though you're sitting at one table, so then you don't have to, so then you wouldn't be obligated to stay for the Zeman. Where did he get this from? I mean, you are, we're sitting together. How could I, but I'm not, how could you create that imaginary world? So he said, he brings a proof from a Ramah later on in that paragraph. The Ramah says that there is a minhag that, that if one is eating in the house of a non-Jew, even if you have three Jews that are eating together in the house of a non-Jew, one should not have a zimun. The minhag is to not have a zimun. And the Ramah says, where does this come from? Right? That the reason for it is that even though you are being koveya to eat, it's as if you're not really being koveya to eat. When you're eating in a non-Jew, you're uncomfortable, you're this, you're that, or at least you should try to make yourself as if you're uncomfortable, and therefore, one way of demonstrating your uncomfortableness, is to say that we're not going to have a zimun together. That's just like a way, a demonstration of the fact that one is uncomfortable. So the Moshe says, aha, what do you see from there? Even though three people are sitting together, one has the right to make it in his mind that I'm not really eating with you. And therefore not obligating the Zeman. Now, just as a side point, in that halacha, the Mishnah Berurah jumps in and says, yeah, but today we don't hold to that minhag. So just practically speaking, nowadays, if one finds himself eating in the house of a non-Jew and you have three Jews together, things happen, things like this happen, right? So one would have a Zeman. I mean, that happens to be the psak today. But the fact that the Ramah entertains the idea and says we don't, and his defense for the reason we don't is because we have in mind that we're not actually going to have the kvius, the establishment together, demonstrates that such a thing is possible. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so therefore, if you want to be at a, if you want to exclude yourself from having to wait till the end in order to form a Zeman, one is permitted to put in that that caveat, and you're permitted to do so. Yes.
When you say you can't leave, does that mean if there are only three and you're one of the three, you can't leave, or if there are four?
Both. That if there are three, you can't leave and mess it up for them, and even if there are four, you're messing it up for yourself.
You can't. Okay.
Right.
But you're going to leave.
No, unless you make a, unless you put a condition on beforehand and say I'm not,
whether even if they will lose someone.
No, so if they will lose somebody, that becomes more complicated.
There's three of us there, and I gotta go because I gotta go to work.
Yeah, so that's a problem. But the in theory, then you could. I should have had a little section for that also. In theory, then you could lead the Zeman for them and say the first bracha of benching, and that's a Pefirish Gemara, and they could continue on. But the case for Moshe's talking about is you're at a wedding. So we're not concerned that you're going to mess up the Zeman for the whole wedding, right? There's 300 people at the wedding, and you're leaving. But in the scenario where there are three people there, so then you would arrange it to make your own Zeman beforehand.
Okay.
Correct. Yes?
What usually happens in a wedding, at least the one that I've been to lately, is that most people don't wait for the shel brachos, but what they do is try to arrange for the Zeman at the table.
Yes, can you change your mind?
That's a more complicated situation where you're sort of not expecting to stay for the Shiver Brothers, but you are maybe expecting to bench with the other people at the table.
Yes, that's somewhat. I was wondering about that. See, this Rav Moshe, there's no like comment. I checked. Actually, now there are a couple of Sfarim that have come out that are like quasi commentaries on Rav Moshe. Like there's a sefer from a Talmud of Rav David Feinstein, which quotes a lot of Tshuvas, and where he talks a lot about things about his father said. And there's another sefer called Mesoris Moshe that has come out that kind of talks about the conversations that were had with him. So I looked there if there's anything further on this, and neither of them had anything on it, or at least didn't quote this Tshuva. Right? But I would presume as follows. I would presume that one has the right to change their mind. Meaning that if you realize that you're in a situation based on the next halacha, it seems that a person that we're about to quote, it seems that one would be permitted to change their mind and say, oh, now that there's a zeman here, so we'll join together. Now, there is a problem if you don't make this condition, say, well, I'll have three people, then you do have a problem because you really have to have 10 people. Right, you're in a situation of 10 people, so you have a problem breaking away from having the 10 people. So, you know, whenever I'm at a wedding, I kind of say that, you know, I'm eating myself unless otherwise unless otherwise noted. I, you know, make this time, I think one can make this time beforehand and you know, play it by ear.
So you're eating by yourself unless somebody says to you, I need you for a mezuzah, and then you participate in that.
Right, so the next halakha seems to indicate that you can join a mezuzah pretty easily. That's actually the next thing we're about to quote, that you can... You can join in with somebody else fairly easily. So what is that? So so first of all, we'll go to number five and go back to number four. So number five is a Gemara. The Rav and Shmuel have a yasvi besudasa. The Rav and Shmuel are once sitting and eating together. It's nice. They fight so much over the course of the Gemara. It's nice to see that they, you know, had meals together, liked each other, you know. So Asa Rav Shimi Bar Chia. So Rav Shimi Bar Chia comes along and have a kemisari va'achil. So he sits down with them and he sees that, okay, Rav and Shmuel, they finished their meal, and he starts like quickly eating so that he'll be able to finish and be able to, he thinks they might be waiting for him. So Amar Lei Rav, so Rav says to him, my daitech leads to Rufi Bahadan. What are you doing? Why are you eating so quickly? Must you want to join with us? Anon achilnalan. Right, that we're considered like we'll eat with you. So I'm Le Shmuel Ilu Maisu Li Ardile Viguzlini La'aba Milo Achlinan. He says Shmuel says that if we if someone would offer me mushrooms and they would offer him, Abba is like a word of respect, and they would offer Rav a piece of chicken, Milo Achlinan, you think he wouldn't eat it? Right, so what's the Gemara saying? Right, he said they finish their meal, and then Rav Shimi sits down with them, and Rav Shimi says, and he's eating. Now they've finished. Rav and Shmuel have finished. Their eating is not overlapping at all, and he's trying to eat quickly so that they could bench together. So number one assumption you see from the Gemara is that even if their eating doesn't overlap, it seems like they could still have a zeman. Right, and the second thing that he says, why? Why is that? Because if they would bring me dessert, right, mushrooms, piece of chicken, piece of pie, ice cream, if someone would bring me dessert, I would eat it. Nobody's bringing me dessert, right? We don't have any recording that anyone actually does bring him dessert. But he says, you know, if someone would bring me Jell-O, and there's always room for Jell-O, right? So it's considered as if we're still eating, and because we're eating together at the table, we could still have a zeman together. So I think that answers, right? So that, based on that, I would think that you could say the same thing at a wedding, that you think you might leave by yourself. So you make the condition on yourself, that we're going to leave. And now we see that there's a zeman. So, you know, you could eat a little thing, or eat a little thing on the assumption that we're going to be together, right? Or they eat a thing on condition that we're going to be together, and then you say, you know, had they brought me another, you know, piece of chicken from the shmorg, right? I would eat that now also, right? And that should be enough to be able to join you together for a zeman. Okay, so far so good.
They don't actually have to eat together.
Person three is eating with the two people, but they're not eating. They're not physically eating. They're just saying, they're just dreaming about Jell-O and cake and ice cream and whatever. And mushrooms and pigeon. Yeah. Right, right. So it seems like that's enough to allow this zenith to take place. Right, so that's another way out of it, is to not wash. So Rav Moshe here, however, points out, Moshe here in the paragraph that we skipped is one of the places where he kind of lashes out at mezonos rolls. He says, people think that they're going to avoid eating by having just a mezonos roll. He says it doesn't work, because you'd have to wash and bench on that. Plus, if you have a mezonos roll, and even if you only have a little bit of mezonos roll and you have the rest chicken and whatever, so then you'd have to wash. Right, so one answer is that I'm just not going to wash. Okay, I don't know, I want to eat the bread. Like, otherwise I'm going to be hungry. Like, I want to wash. So, so you could avoid this. Not everybody likes this tshuva from Moshe, right? So that is an etzah to get out of it. But if you want to eat bread and not be, so I think kedai Rav Moshe lismoch alav. Another halacha here, source number four, just to go back, also comes up. Shtei chaburu she'ochlim b'vayis echar. Source four. Four in group three. There you go. So...
Rome,
What is the four? Four is what is the, if it's not Roman numeral,
Arabic.
It's Arabic. Oh, Arab. Okay, so Arabic numeral four in group Roman numeral three. So shnei chabrua she'ochlos b'vayis echad u b'shnei batim. If you have two groups that are eating in one house or two houses, right? So when can you consider them as being one group? So like you see this at Sheva Brachos where you have like an L, and people say it goes through the living room, the dining room to the living room into the hallway, right? So can they all be considered one group? So what does he say? That if some of them could see the other one, if some of one group could be some of the other group, so then they could join together for a Zeman. And if not, then they're not allowed to join together. So you have to be able to, as some of, one person of each group needs to be able to see each other. However, the post can point out that there is some limitations to this as well. They have to be, in theory, eating together, right? So if you're going to a restaurant and I see a lot of people together, but if there's no, you know, there's no tziruf, there's no joining together, then you can't join together as a zimun. And
you can't do shem of brachas if you didn't have a minion, at least in one place. Well, you could see.
No, Shavuot Brachos, you're going and eating together.
Okay.
So,
but if I don't know, you have six people in one room and they can't see the other four in the other room.
No, they have to, right. So same thing. One person would have to see. The truth is, Shavuot Brachos. I'm not sure, but then maybe the minion.
You're telling me I can't see the other folks.
No. If nobody could see anybody, then you have a problem. That's for sure. Right. What I'm wondering about is if 10 people need to be able
see
to see
each other.
Yes. I'm not sure, but we'll table that discussion.
Okay.
But if you're in a restaurant and you happen to all be eating together in a restaurant, but nobody knows anybody, you have three people at this table, five people at that table, so
yeah,
they're not joining together for a meal. I remember I was once at I remember it was once with my mother. I don't remember if I was bar mitzvah or not, but I think part of this conversation was they asked me if I was bar mitzvah. And there was a couple there with like a bunch of their nieces and nephews, and they had just got married, and they were in Sheva Brachos, and they'd finished their meal, and were like, and they asked me, I think that's it. They asked me if I was bar mitzvah, and I was like, no. I was like, oh well, I guess we can't do Sheva Brachos. I'm like, at 12 years old, I'm thinking to myself, really? Like, we could have done Sheva Brachos? I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. I've never seen you before in my life. And I definitely didn't have in mind that I'm having a Sheva Brachos with you. And if you wanted me to have a Sheva Brachos with you, maybe you should have paid for my bagel. That was all part of my 12-year-old cheshvan. But I don't think that works, and nor does it seem that it should work for a Zimun. However, on the other side, they talk about, what about if you're in a yeshiva cafeteria? Right? So the post can clearly say that if you have a lunchtime, so the whole yeshiva goes and has lunch from 12 to 1, right? So that you'd be able to count as a zimun, even if you're not necessarily eating together at the same table, you're one yeshiva, you're all in the same room, so you'd be allowed to eat together. The suffix is if it's kind of a rotating lunch. Lunch is from 12 to, like when I was in YU, right? Lunch is from 12 to 2. Right, and you come in and you go, whatever. So are you allowed to then join with people at another table? So that's like one of the big YU shilas everybody wonders about. Right? Are you considered mitzdarif with a guy at the next table if you're not really there to be at the same time? Right, so that's probably not. Probably not unless you kind of have some kind of conversation over the course of the meal. Okay, source. Yeah.
About the wedding again. So you go to a wedding and then you have in mind you're not going to be a part of a mizuman or shevach or whatever. You're going to leave right after they serve the main course.
Yeah.
But isn't there like a separate thing about washing because you're celebrating a simcha and you should be washing?
Is there an ideal to wash? Yeah. Not sure. I've never seen that before. That
okay.
There is a reason that you have to. Right, Cohen? Is there a reason to wash at a wedding? You want to be to join with the Suda's mitzvah? I'm not sure.
There's no obligation, but you certainly fulfill something if you do join.
What?
The kikiyum of the whole purpose of saying Hashem's name in the Baruch
Hashem. No. But is there a reason
Let's
to?
Let's say there are nine.
No. Forget there are nine. There's 150. Is there an ideal for you to wash and be part of that and be part of that meal?
You're not going to be part of the mizuman or the chasm.
That's theoretical because of the Mishnah. It would seem so that according to the population, the more is a greater Kiddush Hashem. But we don't know if that's what Yossi had all the different versions.
Okay. Right, right. But even without that, you're there. They don't know if you wash or not. I mean, they're not going to check if your chali is eaten or not.
No, but let's say they'd like to raise the...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's any obligation to.
I said a fulfillment there is. Others may not be involved.
Okay, so so this next line is it leads to confusion often. How many people actually need to eat bread in order to have the zimun? So the Gemara tells us, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bereder Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilas, Shved the Rav, Tisha Achlu Dagan VeEchad Achlu Yarek." Let's say 9 people eat bread, dagan, wheat, whatever, bread, and 1 eats vegetables. So Mitzarfin, they join together to have the zimun. That works. 9 and 1. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Boy Mine Mi Rav Yehuda. Shmona mahu. What about 8? Shiva mahu. What about 7? Amar le loshna. So it doesn't matter. Shisha vaday lo mi bayli. So 6, they didn't ask me. Now that, from the text of the Gemara, it seems like 10, 9, 8, or 7 is okay, but 6 is not. You need a significant majority. Now there is a girsa that says Shisha is a, he's like kicking himself for not asking about 6, in which case it's a suffix. I mean, that is a question what exactly that line is. But the way we paskin is, 7, as long as you have 7 people that have eaten bread, that's considered a significant majority, and you'd be able to eat, and you'd be able to bench. The same, to be able to have a zimun with a minion. I mean, you'd be able to, it would count as a minion if 7 people have bread. So Amar Li Rabbi Yirmi responded and says Shaper Avadat Adalay Vaylach. It was good that you didn't ask. Chasam Taima Mayishim Diika Ruva Hachanami Ika Ruva V'Yusav Ruva the Min Karbina. Says no, it's not just enough to have a rove. You need to have a recognizable rove. Meaning you need to have 7.
7 or greater.
Right, 7 or really more than 2/3 or more, because the same halacha would be by 3 people eating together and only 2 of them eating bread. So in that case, also you'd be able to have a zimun. Because you have also a clear majority, and that it's 2/1, more than 60%.
So that's the answer to the question, the real title.
Yeah, I guess. It's part of the title. Do 3 men need to eat bread together to make a zimun? The answer is no. Right. But also 3 men. That's also, I put in 3 men. That's also part of the...
It sounds like this is a question.
What?
There's not a clear statement here. It says... You could say 6 is a majority, or some say you need a clear majority. That's what I
mean. You could, right, but the... you could change the Shapir Avadat de Lo Ibai to... Sorry, Vaday... Shisha Vaday Lo Ibai Li to, like, Shisha Lo Ibai Le. Like, I didn't ask him about 6, and then, right, and then you could... Right, the rest of the Gemara reads better that way.
But then the guy says it's a majority. The other one says, well, maybe it's not...
Maybe, right, and then, right, the,
so
that...
So 3, you would say 2 is a clear majority.
Right. That's going to be the next.
Right,
one.
So that's the halacha. Okay. Right. So 2 also, okay, I didn't put that on the list, but yeah, 2 or yeah. 2 for a threesome and 7 for a tensome. Minkar means recognizable, like a clear majority. Nikar. Okay, I mean nikar, not cleaning, but clear. Okay, so how many need to? That's what we just did. So how late can one join? So. Source number 7. That wasn't really the best way. So we kind of already did that. How late can one join? That's really the Gemara and Brachos. But this is a little bit different. How late can you be part of the Zimun, meaning to answer? I mean, this happens sometimes. What if you're not part of the... You didn't eat bread. Let's say you didn't eat anything, and you're present for a Zimun. So, Shlosha Sha'achlu. 3 people eat, v'heim mavarchim, and they're making the bracha. So v'nichnas echad shelo achal, and 1 person walks in and hasn't eaten. Im nichnas kishomer hamavarich nevarich shachan mishelo, o ne'acharav baruch umavorach shemo tamid li'olam va'ed. That should be the phrase that he has. In some benchers you'll see it. In some benchers you'll see that line there. If one who didn't eat makes this answer. Because you can't say baruch shachanu mishelo, that I didn't eat. Right? So the phrase is baruch umavorach shemo. Right, just we mention it's bad, you know, to be in a room where people are praising Hashem and for you to have nothing to say, that's bad. right? So you, it gives you something to say. The problem is you never remember what it is. You never remember the line. But that's the line.
So if there's 10, you would probably say Baruch
Elohim. Yes, and as he continues on and says, V'imnichas kashem onim baruchachan. I'm sorry, it's not here, but I think I left it out. In the Shulchan Aruch, it continues and says, with 10, you would even add in the word Elokeinu. It says, if you add in after that, V'imnichas kashem onim baruchachan mishalo, you would say, Ona Amen. You would answer Amen. And that's what the Ramah says. With everything, you would answer, you would always answer Amen. By the way, I left out, in the first sif, it mentions the idea of Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Right, you see that sometimes at the end of a mezuzah, in the benches, it says the word Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So right, Cohen is muttering that nobody says that, but of course not. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says... It mentions the Baruch. Where is it? Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Oh, sorry. It's not actually in Shulchan Aruch. The idea of Saint Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes it and says it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah that you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. He says, however, some do, but he says and that is the minhag. But see the Magen Avraham that says that the only person that should say it should be the Mevarich, meaning the leader. Mm-hmm. Not the people answering, but maybe only the leader, because everybody's saying Baruch Shacham Yishalo Tevo Chayinu, so he should have something to answer, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. But that's what the Mishnah, if anybody would say it, it would only be the leader. He would be the only one to possibly say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Okay.
But he says, he says that too.
You're mm-hmm.
What?
He's already repeating it. So why does he have
to... Because he adds something. I mean, the idea is that I'm not just going to repeat what you said. I'm going to add something to it. And my addition is going to be Baruch Hu Baruch Shem. Right. Okay, so source number 8 is woman. The woman do a mezuzah together. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So it says very clearly in Shulchan Aruch what the halacha is: Nashim va'avadim uktanim in mezamdin aleihem, that if you have women slaves or children, you wouldn't have a zimun for them. I mean, they wouldn't be included in your zimun. Aval mezamdin la'atzman, but they could have their own zimun. I mean, they could have their own separate zimun. And they shouldn't have it together, but if you have distinct women, meaning three women or three slaves, perhaps three ketanim, although we don't generally do that, right? So you would do a zimun. So
what do you mean they shouldn't have it together?
I mean, you can't have one woman, one slave, and one kid. God. It would have to be three. It have to be three of the same group. I remember Vinny Friedman. I was once at a shir by him. So some might know the name. So he commented that he once had some yeshiva guys at his home for a meal, and he took out a Mishnah Berurah and he showed them that halacha. You know, he opened the Kuf Tzadi Tess Sif Vav, where it says it. And he says, here, read the Shulchan Aruch, read it. So the guy looks at it, and he then looks at the front, like, wants to make sure it's really the Mishnah Berurah. Like, he wants to make sure it's not really? Yeah. I couldn't believe that that's actually what it says. So that is actually what it says, that women should be, that women should have their own zimun. The Aruch HaShulchan records this. He talks about that they should do it. And then he says that maybe for them it's not an obligation, maybe only a mitzvah. And then he puts in other lines, "V'lo shamanu mi olam shenashim yizamnu liasman." He says, I never heard of it. I never heard that any woman had their own zimun. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm part of a... every couple of weeks, Rabbi Mordechai Willig does a conference call for Rabbanim. I make sure I'm allowed to say that he does a conference call for Rabbanim, and what he says on it, I'm not sure if the recordings are available for all to listen to, but we're allowed to say that it exists and that he said it. So I submitted this question in preparation for this year. I said, what do you think about if a woman comes and asks whether she has a zimun, should we endorse it or should we dissuade it? Should we push for it or should we not push for it? And he said Shulchan Aruch says to do it, and he said and the Aruch HaShulchan says that we never heard that that you do it, and therefore it's not our minhag, and he thinks that it's not a good idea. So you're stuck. I'm not sure. I mean, for me, it seems like it is a good idea. Meaning, it seems like if it's in Shulchan Aruch, if it's in Shulchan Aruch, so in Shulchan Aruch it says to do it, and presumably there's an ideal to do it. So why would we try to dissuade people from doing that ideal? However, there is a bit of an uncomfortableness with saying, well, even though it hasn't been done for many centuries, which one would have to try to scratch their head and try to figure out why it hadn't been done for many centuries, but the facts are the Aruch HaShulchan, who records Minhagim from previous generations, says that by him it wasn't the custom. So maybe we shouldn't be changing the custom. So this, of course, gets into what my whole Shabbos HaGadol Drasha was about, right? What do we follow? Do we follow the text or do we follow the tradition, right? Rupture and reconstruction. So do we go back to the text or do we follow the, or do we figure out exactly what the Masorah is, or maybe the Masorah was broken, right? And therefore maybe it should be changed. So I'm like conflicted on this, because on one hand, you know, my honest opinion is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, I have trouble understanding why one would not advocate this. However, my Rebbeim seem to not be so excited about advocating it, so that's my position on it for the time being. Yes.
Is this advocating on it when there's no Mizuman for the men? Or advocating just if there's, like, let's say there's six people in the room, there's three men, three women.
No, three men could join with the three women. That's part of that halacha. The three women could join with the three men, and that would solve their chiyuv. I mean, the idea of kishem Hashem ekrav ugodel elokeinu, right? That would be solved by women joining the men. But you're right. There's two questions then. One is only if there's just women eating together. Right, so that's question A.
Right.
And question B is, what if there's three women and two men? Right, so the two men be kicked out. I don't know, I asked my wife what happened at Michalah, and she said, when she was in Michalah, she said some girls did and some girls, you know, some did and some didn't. And, you know, of course the question is, what if, you know, did the two groups ever... you know, that could lead to some conflict. By the time you get to this, hopefully the food's all gone. So, that's I don't have you know, I'm conflicted on this statement, but I just wanted to show you the sources and that's the issue. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were about to say something. Okay. And then finally, so who should lead? Who should be the one to lead the Zeman? This also is something that leads to like conflict, etc., and things like that. So who should lead? So Gadol Mevarich, being the biggest Talmud Chacham, should lead, even if he came last. However, if he wants to give Rishus to somebody else, he's allowed to do that. That is Sif Aleph. He says, "V'hani mili k'she'in sham orach." If there is no guest, "V'alimi sham orach." If there is a guest, the guest should lead, even if the balabais is greater. Why? That he gives a bracha to the balabais. Right? So if one looks through benching, right, it's become more popular now. In most benches, it just says, Harachaman, hu yivarech, as balabais, as that, says the line. The Gemara in Brachos gives a text for the bracha that a guest is supposed to make for the balabais. And in many benches, it actually appears. It's becoming more popular as people have gone back to the text and left, you know. I've actually looked to see what's actually in the Gemara. So it's become more popular to say that. So especially in a scenario where the zimener, the person leading the zimun, is saying it on behalf of everybody. So if you want to say that bracha, right, you need to give the guest, the guest is the one that has to lead it, right? So that is the source for the idea that a guest would lead benching, not just because we're being nice and not just because we want to make him feel comfortable, but because we want him to give us a bracha. That's what we want him to do. Now, nowadays, really everybody should be saying that. I mean, not everybody. If you're a guest anywhere, anyone would make that bracha. You don't necessarily have to be leading the Zeman in order to make that bracha, but that is the source for the idea that the guest would lead it. Then, because in Sif Beis, it talks about a Kohen, right? What about the idea that a Kohen should lead? So in Sif Beis, it says, Lo yaktim chacham Yisrael a Kohen am aretz levarech lefanov derech chok umishbat. That even a chacham should not be able to do it before a Kohen, even if the Yisrael is a Talmud Chacham and the Kohen is an Amma Aretz. Aval latet lo chacham rish. Sorry, lo yaktim chacham Yisrael lekohen im am kohen am aretz levarich lefanav derech chokum mishra. Aval latet lo chacham rishus shevarich in bekach. Right. If the chacham gives you permission to do it, that's okay. But aval kohen tamar chacham mitzvah lakdim. But if he's a kohen tamar chacham, so then he should be given the opportunity. Shenemar v'kidashto liftoach rishon levar, that we have an idea to sanctify him. That we have an idea. We have a mitzvah to be mekadish the kohen. So does that mean that the kohen should lead benching every week? So this is something that comes up every week at Chal Shudis, right? Should Rabbi Cohen be leading the benching every week? So maybe it seems like Shulchan Aruch it would.
Same thing with the Leah. There's one kohen and keeps on getting that. So they ask the Chazay Nish. They died in this house, and there was only one kohen. He kept on getting the aliyah, so they asked him whether they could call Bimkum kohen. So he said in a sarcastic tone, "Oh, this is a very nice v'kidashtoy."
Right.
You know, bounce them out.
Right. Yeah, that is. Right, so they do that in some schools and stuff. They kick the kohen out and give someone else the aliyah. Right, so it's probably not the best idea. But by benching, it seems like it's more widespread that they don't give the kohen the kibbutz. So is there any defense for it? But the
kohen, if the kohen feels that the chacham should leave.
Right, so by benching, there is an idea that the kohen could be mokel on it. The kohen, but perhaps he should be asked explicitly, which a lot of places they don't do it. So yeah. they just say brishus hakohen, and the kohen stuff sucks sitting by himself being annoyed. So not present company excluded, of course. So is there any what they call limud schus for what most people do when they don't necessarily give it to the kohen? Mm-hmm. So the if one is a balabus. If you're at someone's house, so it's more clear that there's a reason to do it, because who's really has the rishus to lead benching? The balabas, the person who, the host. Oh, he's really the one. No, the host has the right to do it, and he gives it to a guest in order to make the bracha. Yeah. Right? But really it's the host's ownership to do with it what he wants. So he could give it to a kohen, right? He could do what he wants. But if you have a meal where there's no clear host, right? Like Shal Shudis, at Shul, right? There's no clear who's the host. It's unclear who the host is. So then it's a little bit, it's more unclear whether that a kohen shouldn't do it. There is a tshuva from the Mishnah Halachos, from Rav Menashe HaKatan Klein, where he attempts to defend the practice. He has a few, what they call limudei schusim, reasons to maybe we could get away with it, that you know, get around it, but practically speaking, there is a mitzvah of the kidashto, there is a mitzvah of giving honor to the kohen, and it's a little bit difficult to understand why one would try to skirt that mitzvah when you have a clear ability to get that mitzvah right then and there. I would add that that Mishnah Berurah, which of course didn't make it onto the source sheet, the Mishnah Berurah has at the end that he quotes some sources to say this would apply to a Levi also. There is a question whether this would apply to Leviim, so the Horowitz family can rejoice that there is a mitzvah of the Kiddush, or at least an opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, there is an opinion of a Kiddushto when it comes to Leviim, so Leviim would have precedent over others. However, that is subject to dispute. They point out that the Sefer Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Mevardishchev, the whole title of the Sefer is subject to Machlokas, right? It's subject to dispute. It might be that there's no such thing as special Kedusha for Levi, but the Mishnah Berurah paskins that there is. And by the way, he adds in here, Mishenosim lo levarach ve'inu mevarach mekatz from yamav. The Shulchan Aruch says that if one is given the ability to do the bracha and he doesn't do it, so his days are shortened. So the Mishnah Berurah says that might only be by a guest, meaning a guest who declines to do it. That means he's declining to give the bracha to the host. So therefore, his days are shortened. But either way, when one is given the honor of leading benching, so it is a worthwhile thing to do. One should try to avoid, and one should not attempt to give it up. Yes.
With respect to the bracha of the guest, I don't say it on Shabbos because we have the Yiyun Chosav Mutzlacher Mukhaivim
Lachim. But there's Mavakas, there's Bakashas in it.
The Bakasha of Parnasa.
Uh huh.
And one is not permitted to.
Okay. The whole issue of bakashos is one that is is filled with some ambiguity, that the idea that we don't do bakashas on Shabbos. But yes, yes.
I want to go all the way back to the very first idea. So you talked about that you're really supposed to say all four out loud, the whole thing, and that's sort of fallen away, and people really only say the first one out loud. But there also is a custom, in fact we do it, and we've seen it elsewhere, that we say every, that people stop and we say every bracha out loud at the end of the paragraph.
Right.
And wait for everybody to say anything. So where does that
go? That would be part of this. That would be part of sort of benching Betzibur. So that, right, that also is part of this, that we're like doing it together as opposed to everybody doing it separately. Right? The idea of people praising Hashem together is considered a better ideal than people doing it separately. So that's what we're trying to do with the Zimun. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you.